We're going to start the meeting right away because there are several of our members that need to leave by 10 to 4 this afternoon. We have three bills that we would like to hear, and we do have a quorum at this point. So the first bill up is Senate File 239, Senator Sharon.
If there are other people in the room to take their spot, it would. I was told that where's the old one always?
Somebody's going to testify.
There were people in line. So it really wouldn't be, because it'd either be maximally subscribed under this or maximally subscribed with the meeting.
So it's the same amount of money, but let's ask those questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to prioritize, ma'am.
Okay, Senator Sharon on Senate File 239.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm introducing today Senate File 239, which is a bill that is relating to energy. It's intending to extend the eligibility period for certain renewable energy production incentives. In this bill, what we are asking you to consider is for an applicant who filed an application, that you would change the language in the first subdivision 4, in which the language currently is reading that the applicant needs to introduce an application prior to January, and that date be moved to March 1st, 2005, and that the clauses in 1 and 2 for the commissioner be extended to July 31st, 2007 for the purposes of allowing a project that really met the requirements but was delayed for reasons that we'll discuss more fully to be considered under this program.
Okay, Senator Sharon, can you tell us why this is necessary?
May I ask the people who are here to testify to explain the history of this project?
Certainly.
Hi, my name is Dave Arnold, and I'm the COO of a one-turbine wind farm, Arnold Wind Farm. And the production incentive was created and designed for wind projects exactly to a T, just like mine. And I fulfilled all the criteria except for one. The application was not received prior to January 1st, 2005. I have all my lease agreements, my turbine purchase, everything done in 04, just like it was supposed to be. But to quote Mike's associate that I submitted the application to, the sun and the moon and the stars had to line up for this not to work. I submitted my application in December. It came back to me damaged. I resubmitted it. They received it in February, and I lost out on the incentive. They always planned on having me in the project because I had been in conversation with them throughout the application process. So the money allocated for my one-turbine wind farm was already in the plan, but I missed out on it. To explain a little further on this, and for the people that are new at things here, the reason that I was interested in having a wind turbine is that it appealed to me on all levels. I'm a Case IH farm equipment dealer, and things that impact the rural economy, ethanol, things like that, were of great interest to me. And being involved with ag, the deal, the lease agreement to put the turbine on this farm family's property out in southwestern Minnesota was that we did it on a share basis and that I paid him a percentage of my gross revenue as a lease agreement. And he, of course, would share in my being in the incentive program because he would get a percentage of the incentive that I was supposed to receive. That's pretty much everything in a nutshell.
Okay. Assistant Commissioner Bull, do you have things to add?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to mention to the committee that this is a closed class. This Mr. Arnold is the only one in this position, so we won't have it. This isn't opening up the RECI program for a bunch of different projects. And so it's about a $40,000 a year impact on the fund that pays for these projects, but it's limited to that one project. And
So, Assistant Commissioner, I'm not sure if you're saying that will use up the funds or if there are others that are lined up behind him.
Madam Chair, there aren't any other projects that would qualify for this fund under this bill. It's just Mr. Arnold's project. It's paid for out of the Renewable Development Fund, and I don't know how deep we want to get into that, but it's the fund itself would be fine. It's a very small hit to this $16 million a year fund that Xcel Energy pays for. The bigger impact is what is in the governor's budget, and we'll be looking at that in Senator Anderson's committee.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Sharon, and to your witnesses. I'm trying to figure out if my committee needs to look at this to see if there is a net impact to the fund. And so let me just make sure I understand this. You're saying, Mr. Bull, that there's nobody else who had filed an application prior to March 1st, 05, who would be applying before July 31st, 07?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, that's correct with regard to the rest of the clauses that are in there, too, but who has not received a letter of approval. Mr. Arnold is the only one who is in that class.
So, Madam Chair,
Anderson.
Mr. Bull, I thought you said that he was already, or maybe Mr. Arnold said this, that he was you're already planning on this being part of the allocation of the REPI. So why would there be an additional cost, or is it just that it's not accounted for at this point?
Assistant Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, what we meant by that is that the administrator of this program carries this project as had been carrying this project as one that he would expect it would be paid for out of this fund. But it is not since it's not currently being paid out, mm-hmm.
And so, Madam Chair,
Senator Anderson,
all the other projects that are approved, that could be approved under the REPI that's funded through the RDF, sorry about all the alphabets here, guys, are already underway. There's just, you know, Madam Chair, the more I ask these questions, I don't think it would hurt to have a discussion about this in my committee, Senator Sharon, and don't worry, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We'll be nice. But as Mike Bull mentioned, you know, the governor's budget has millions of dollars of expenditures in the energy area which are proposed to come from that fund. And so it's very much an issue that we're going to be spending a lot of time on in my committee and trying to figure out how, you know, what's in the fund, where it's going, where it will go, where it should go, whether it should be spent on some other things. And so I just want to make sure that we're very aware. And I think next Tuesday in my committee, which meets right before this committee, we'll be talking about, we'll have a report from the Renewable Development Fund about where the money's been going and what the balances are. And so at that point, I think we'll be hearing about this part of the fund. So I guess I would appreciate it if you could come to my committee and discuss that. Mr. Arnold, I don't think you would have to come back if you're from out of town. That wouldn't be necessary. I don't think it's going to be a problem to allocate this, but I think we need to make sure we track it along with the other expenditures in the fund.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Arnold.
I just wanted to add, if you can imagine, I mean, Jeremy is the individual in the office mm-hmm. that I was dealing with. Throughout our discussions and having fulfilled everything, every aspect of the program that needed to be fulfilled, I was comfortable in the knowledge that I was going to be in the font, and only to find out that when it came back to me, which was not my fault at all, that upon resubmitting it, that it would get rejected. And Jeremy had the sad task of looking me in the face and going, Dave, there's nothing I can do short of new legislation to get you where you rightfully should be.
Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair,
Senator Anderson.
I understand it's just because your mail got returned that you missed the deadline, right? And
yeah.
So the law requires that you're not eligible. So I think we can fix this. I think everyone's going to be very willing to fix this problem for you. Senator Sharon or Mr. Arnold, is there what's the timing here? Are you trying to pass this bill quickly? Does that make a difference?
Mr. Arnold?
It's my understanding from visiting with Jeremy that this would not be retroactive. So it moves forward from now. So, again, the sooner that I get into the incentive fund, the sooner that I would be receiving the money, and it wouldn't be retroactive. So sooner the better.
And, Madam Chair,
Senator
Anderson. Mr. Arnold, your turbine's already up and running. And
correct.
Okay.
It was commissioned on September 22nd, 2005.
Okay.
So I've been patiently waiting about a year and a half.
And members, this is something we've had a lot of discussion about over the last few years, because we had one pot of money that ran out, and then we found another pot of money, and we changed deadlines so more people could qualify. And it's, it's been such a successful program, but not really enough to meet the demand that's out there. So, Madam Chair, I guess I would ask that this bill be sent to my committee, but I think that I don't think it's going to be a problem to get this done, and we can, we can probably send this bill separately so it doesn't have to wait for the budget to be approved, which might not be till May. So that'll help, Senator Sharon. So we can probably, once we get this into our accounting in the budget bill, we can probably send this bill separately so you can try to get this done more quickly.
Yeah, let's ask him that question.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a minute, Mr. Arnold.
Madam Chair, Ms. Arnold, I just wanted to make sure. Do you then qualify for the full 10 years under this going forward, so he'll get the same length of payment, and you don't want retroactivity at all here? You want looking forward?
I would love retroactivity.
Well, I'm asking. There's my phone. I'm asking Commissioner Bowe.
Commissioner Bowe.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, you're correct that Mr. Arnold would get the full 10 years of payments, and retroactivity I would leave to the legislature to decide.
Well, we better not do retroactivity.
Okay. Okay, so Senator Sharon, you have a
yes,
motion.
Yes, I would have a motion for the passage of Senate File 239, and I move the committee recommend this and pass it and refer it to the Committee on Finance.
Okay, is there any discussion at this time?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering, Senator Sharon, where is this turbine now? In what is in Blue Earth County?
A little town
Mr.
called
Arnold.
Wilmont, Minnesota, just north of Worthington.
Oh.
It's on the Buffalo Ridge.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, then on Senator Sharon's motion that the committee be recommended to pass the, what did I say? and refer to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The bill passes. Thank you. Or the amendment passes. The motion passes. I'll get the hang of this yet. The next bill is Senate File 474, Senator Olsen. Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair and members, this is kind of light duty after the weeks of wind study we've been doing, but I think it all ties into the picture. I think we learned one of the best ways to save energy is to save energy. And this is a request for a geothermal heat pump study, which would be conducted under 1, 2, and 3 there, you know, to look at how many systems there are in the state of Minnesota, how effective they are, and the savings of energy from them. I have to do a little personal testimony. Just a few weeks ago, I was in the Rush City High School, and they were showing me around the back room, and they do not have a boiler in that school building. And here enough, they have a ground source heat pump system. It pumps 25,000 gallons of water that's circulated under the athletic fields. And they have a series of heat exchangers located throughout the facility. And so that takes the water that's approximately 45 to 50 degrees and heats that up to whatever temperature they set at. So it's quite an amazing system. I had requested some information on their bills to compare, but I wasn't able to get that for today. But it seems like it's a very, very effective system, and I would like to see us kind of look at that kind of a system for all public facilities where it's applicable. And I also put in some information. This was pretty timely, too. The Cambridge Star, one of my local papers, had just run an article about geothermal heat pump. It's in your packets. And, you know, in the rural areas, it's quite easy to put in with lateral runs where you wouldn't have to go so deep into the ground. But it also is accessible in smaller lots where you would do a vertical loop system where you drill a well down and circulate the water vertically, but it still gets warmed up by the soil or the natural heat of the earth. So that's basically what we're looking at to see how many people have them in the state of Minnesota and the results.
Okay. Senator Olsen, forgive my ignorance here, but so is this tapping into a natural spring or is it a drilled well? And then a lot, and I realize that the earth warms it up some, but there must be something that heats it beyond that.
Well, Madam Chair, that's a good question, because there are open loop systems, which I guess I personally would not be in favor of, where they do just drill a well and they pull the, if it's cooling, they pull the heat out of the air, or if it's heating, they take the heat out of the water, and then they just discharge it into ground or stream. So I there is systems like that, and I don't think that's the way for us to go in the future. But these are closed-loop systems, kind of like the radiator on your car, where it would circulate. Think of the piping system in the ground like your radiator, and that's where the water circulating through there would ambient to the temperature of the ground. And then when that goes through a heat pump system for heating or cooling, it either takes the coolness out of the water or takes the heat out of the air. So then you're really only changing the temperature a few degrees. So it uses much less energy to warm a room or to cool a room.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Senator Carlson.
I just wanted to say if there's any technical questions, I could probably answer them too. I've had a heat pump in my house for almost 30 years. And I have neighbors that have the geothermal heat pumps also.
So this would call for counting yours, right?
No, my heat pump was an air-to-air system, okay. Which, and actually I pioneered it in our utility. I was the first one that had one installed in our utility, and I was under monitor for a year, and then they recommended it for other developments in our area. But this is a cut above. This is probably the best heating system you could possibly have. It takes the water from underground, which is roughly about 54 degrees, and concentrates that heat and can be used in the house. It's very quiet. Or in the summertime, it takes that 54-degree air and pumps heat into the earth and will cool the house. And typically, you get about probably, and I might be updated by someone else that has more recent information, probably five times the electrical energy that goes into it you get back out in either heat or cooling. So that's the coefficient of performance.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I need to inject that about an hour ago I learned that my funding source is dried up. So there is a financial impact to this. And I think, I guess, maybe the best way to proceed might be to go to finance and author's amendment to address the funding.
Okay. I had a question. Any questions or comments? I know what it was. Senator Olsen, what do you hope to do with this information?
I hope that we can come back with a study that will say that if people are building a new home or retrofitting their home, they can save 70% of their energy bill by going with a geothermal heat pump system. That would be awesome.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
And Senator Olsen, I think the idea of trying to encourage public buildings to put these systems in whenever possible is a really good idea, too, and trying to figure out how we can make that happen. And there's, you know, the payback period, I don't know what it is. Maybe one of you knows, but will that be part of what we find out? You know, how cost-effective they are and what it would take to make it financially viable for people to install these in their homes in new construction or to put them in an existing school or in a public facility that has a little bit of land. It doesn't take a lot of land, as you said. You know, that would be information that we could take as legislators and say, is there any, you know, do we need to set up some kind of revolving loan fund to make this happen and or get it in the bonding bill and say, let's make all the new buildings built with bonding dollars, see if they can do this, you know, and whenever it's possible, they should.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, to the extent that a $50,000 survey will go that far, I believe it will. I mean, I think that's one of the objectives is that we see what would be the benefits of really going towards utilizing the Earth's heat. We've just been talking about utilizing the wind. Let's use the natural heat of the Earth to heat and cool our buildings more.
Any further questions? Then Senator Olsen recommends that Senate File 474 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to finance.
Thank you.
Questions or comments? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dahl. Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members, Senate File 563 is a very simple, but it's an extremely critical bill now that we've passed Senate File 4. The committee has spent the past month discussing the renewable energy standard, and we've heard of substantial economic benefits that the state can receive requiring the installation of these large amounts of this wind energy. However, we've also heard that the development of the various wind projects has not been guided by a strategic plan. And we need that plan to ensure that the state receives the maximum benefits that this new renewable industry can provide us. In fact, the committee has also heard that there's been a variety of development plans that provide differing local benefits and that the local developments may have some difficulties in competing in the marketplace for a variety of reasons. So Senate File 563 is the first step in moving us toward that strategy. It requires the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development in consultation with other committee commissioners to develop a strategic plan for the state to maximize state economic benefits for from the activities required under the Renewable Energy Standard. And the commissioners to report back to to this coming fall with some recommendations. Ordinarily, a bill for a study would not be considered critical. However, this study usually, because they usually consider whether to do something or not. In this case, the legislature obviously has already decided what to do, what we're to do here. This bill is critical because it's focusing on a plan that accomplishes the way that we can realize the most economic development or the potential out of that economic development. You know, as we capture the wind and the other sources of renewable energy, we also want to capture the economic benefits to the greatest degree possible, and it's and is in as much of the state as possible. So when we're mandating these expenditures of billions of dollars it would be irresponsible for us not to have a plan that maximizes the state benefit for those state-mandated expenditures. Now, my intention is not only to focus on the development and construction of the wind energy generators, but also to look at locating manufacturing plants for components of this wind generation, other businesses that would be supporting the industry, as well as in operations and maintenance, as well as technical expertise. I envision even the U of M and the Minsky system playing a significant role. So I would ask your support for the study, because doing the wind energy mandate in the right way, so as to maximize the state economic benefit, it has the potential providing significant benefits to the state economy. And I believe it would be irresponsible for us not to maximize those benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dahl. Is there any question or comment about this bill? Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator. Just a question about the deadlines you've put down here. How did you come and arrive at the deadline of November 15th, 2007, and August 1, 2007?
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe we wanted to have it as timely as possible to give the commissioners time. No particular reason for the November 15th other than that we felt that gave them enough time to pull the recommendations together.
So. And Senator Rummel, we also wanted this to come to us before the next legislative session.
Appreciate it. I just keep thinking of strategic planning processes I've been part of, and sometimes this appeared pretty aggressive, and I don't argue with it. It's just a very ambitious deadline.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
There's no reason to believe they can't do this, is there?
Oh, no. Okay. They should be doing this. They should have done it already.
Okay. I'm being told that this is reasonable.
Okay. Senator Fuller.
That the timeline is at least something that they could meet.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, and Senator
Madam Chair,
Dahl.
I would move then that the committee recommend that Senate File 563 pass and be referred to the Committee on Business, Industry, and Jobs.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted. Thank you. Next, I'm going to call on Assistant Commissioner Bull to come up and give us an update on work regarding the seabed legislation contained in Senate File 145.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Mike Bull, Assistant Commissioner for Renewable Energy, Minnesota Department of Commerce. And in the Governor's Next Generation Energy Initiative, Article 3 provides a number of recommendations on how to promote community energy in our state. And those recommendations were based on a number of discussions that we've had with the community energy advocates and others. And since putting that bill in, those negotiations and discussions are ongoing, and I think we're coming to what I think is something very close to a consensus, and we'll see tomorrow morning. There's a stakeholder group, one very successful model that you guys have employed for the renewable energy standard. We're going to have another one of those tomorrow morning and go over some of the recommendations that we may be making as a group to you for your adoption. The other day you heard from a bunch of folks who are working on community energy projects around the state. And, you know, those are my peeps, as they say. Those are the people that I've been working with since we worked on the community energy bill. Senator Anderson authored that bill in 2005. And I think, Senator Anderson, you know this, but other members might not. When we were in the middle of the negotiation on that in 2005, we heard from folks. We had a delegation from the Suzlon turbine manufacturing facilities saying that if we could pass that legislation, that they would commit to building their blade manufacturing facility in Pipestone. And we did, you did, pass the bill, and they did, and they followed through with that recommendation. And what we're hearing now is there are a number of turbine manufacturers that have contacted us, and I think contacted Senator Anderson in some respects, and others, and our people are on the cusp of wanting to do actual turbine manufacturing in our state to serve this community energy niche. They see that as a place where they can, because of our commitment, our collective commitment to community energy, a place where they can come and build an industry. The governor has committed, set a goal of 800 megawatts of community wind by 2010. He did that in November of 2005. The utilities have done a remarkable job, most of them, in working on components of that goal. To Xcel Energy in particular has stepped up and committed to 500 megawatts of that. You heard that from Betsy Engelking the other day. We now have about 500 megawatts total under contract, or very close to under contract. Things are happening. We're making progress. It's hard and steady progress. And some of the recommendations that I hope to bring to you next Tuesday will help to address some of the barriers that we've seen. And you heard Mr. Crocker refer to those as tools in the toolbox that we need, that these folks need, in order to keep the ball rolling on community energy. We do have a leadership position in this area, far beyond what other states are doing. Although Mr. Jewell is down in Iowa today, I think, testifying to that legislature about community energy. And you know how I feel about Iowa. We must crush Iowa. So we have to stay on top of this. And I think we'll have some good work for you on Tuesday. So, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to stand for questions, or if you guys...
I'm wondering what you think about Senator Dahl's recommendation about a study, and if that might not inform some of your decision-making.
Madam Chair, when Senator Dahl was speaking, I almost said amen, brother, when back there in my seat. I thought it was it's exactly the kind of thing I think that we need. We haven't made economic development an explicit part of our energy policy. It's been implicit in a lot of things that we've talked about over the past number of years. But as Senator Dahl pointed out, we've never had an explicit plan. We've never looked at it in depth. The kinds of recommendations that we're developing, this I think a fairly consensus package, will help us keep the ball rolling in the period while we develop the strategic plan. So I think those two things will work very well together.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work, and we're eager to hear where this comes out. Any other questions or comments or any business to come before this committee? Mr. Arnold is saying that he has something else to say.
Well, I was just going to...
You'll have to come up to the table, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, Madam Chair, just on the cusp of what Mike Bull was saying, one thing he didn't mention, he talked about a company named Suslon. The turbine that I purchased was from a company named Vestas Micon. And one thing that didn't come up here, and it would be tremendous if these turbines and blades or whatever could be made in Minnesota, or at least in the United States, besides missing out on the production incentive, from the time I started the purchase process to the time I finished my wind turbine, because of the euro exchange rate, cost me 20% more than when I started. So this exchange rate stuff is killing us too. So to have it made domestically would be awesome. That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Arnold, we're really hopeful that passing this renewable energy standard will help, that it's going to, you know, investors are going to be looking to Minnesota, not just to develop the projects, but to provide that manufacturing base for the components. So I hope we're right, but I think that that will be part of the result. So we'll have even more. We already have some interest, quite a bit of interest, but I think it's going to just grow, and that will really help all of you, all the wind developers, the small and the big, especially the small.
Okay, thank you. There being no further business to come before the committee, then we are adjourned.
Awesome.